America is under siege. We are being bombarded by Washington with laws and regulations trying to control the way we live and what we believe. Well, enough is enough. Welcome to What Happened on TalkZone.com, where we don't mince words or beat around the bush. We give you straight talk and the plain truth. Now, here's your host, Tom Inabnett.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. If you'd like to join the show, I'd like you to please give us a call at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's show, I'd like to take a few minutes to express my sadness regarding the shooting in the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. My sincere condolences to all the families and all the victims of that horrible incident. And, you know, it's one of those things we just simply can't. It's incredibly difficult for most of us to grasp what happened. You know, it's out of the blue, and this apparently successful young man. Something happened. Something snapped. Something went wrong, terribly wrong, that caused him to do something of this magnitude. Now, ladies and gentlemen, understand that this was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. We all know that. It's not something he just jumped out of the car one day and said, I'm going to go shoot up a theater. No, no, no. This took weeks, months of planning, patience, waiting for this to happen. And to inflict such a tragedy on an innocent group of people, it's just inexplainable. But I want to go one thing further on this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to see if we can prevent the fervor, as we saw in the Trayvon Martin case, from distracting our attention from what's really important, finding out what happened, making sure these families are okay, seeing what we can do to prevent this type of thing never to happen again. Now, I urge you, now, what caused this man to do this is a subject for speculation, but please don't speculate. Let's not let the fervor, let's not let the dogs bark, let's not let the political pundits jump on this and turn it into a political football. And they have. They already have started. Now, this young man doesn't seem to be attached to any kind of nexus of terrorism, according to the press secretary, Jim Carney, of the White House, and nobody knows. So let's let the speculation stop until we find out what happened and why it happened. Now, a couple of things involved with this. The president canceled his campaign stop in Florida, as did the vice president and the first lady. They all canceled their appearances for the day. And the Obama campaign manager, Jen Psaki, said that the Obama campaign officials have asked affiliates to pull down the advertising for the time being, and the Mitt Romney campaign has asked to do the same thing, trying to keep attention where it belongs on the people that suffered this great tragedy and away from them. Now, that's a very classy move by both campaigns. I really congratulate both of them for helping us have some time to heal from this horrible tragedy. But once again, you know, when some things like this happen, I'm just amazed at how quickly Americans pull together in times of tragedy. It's just, you know, after the Timothy McVeigh 9/11, these kind of events and Columbine, and now the Aurora shooting. Americans pull together and embrace each other and try to make things better, and that's a wonderful thing. But on the other hand, there are those pundits who will take anything they can and use it as a political weapon to further their agenda. Now, that's despicable in my estimation. Already I hear screams for gun control. They're firing up with the same fervor that happened in the Florida case to keep us off guard, to keep us from seeing what's important. They want to scream and holler. Now, what's important is we help these victims move on with their lives. What's important is that we don't let things like this distract us from the real issues. And the blame game for this started within hours. On Friday morning, ABC News, Good Morning America, George Stephanopoulos and Brian Ross were there. And I'm going to quote Good Morning America. This is Stephanopoulos. I want to go to Brian Ross here because, Brian, you've been looking, investigating the background of Jim Holmes here. You found something that might be significant. And then Brian Ross says, there's a Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado page on the Colorado Tea Party site as well, talking about him joining the Tea Party last year. Now, we don't know if it's the same Jim Holmes, but it's Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado. And then George Stephanopoulos comes up and says, okay, we'll keep looking at that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, This is not the same man. This Jim Holmes, who's a member of the Colorado Tea Party, is not the same man that shot up a theater. They did not even stop to check their references to be sure that they had the same person before they fired across the bow another political shot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how can they possibly do this? Now, ABC has since come out and said, listen, we're going to make sure, we're going to work toward making sure our resources are researched and so forth and so on. And I understand that. As a broadcaster myself, we need to do everything we possibly can to make sure that our sources are viable. They're not just somebody said this and somebody said that. That is not reliable. But here, a mainstream media, ABC News, and a seasoned professional like George Stephanopoulos immediately jumps on the Tea Party where it has no relevance, simply to forward their own agenda. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I feel very much for these families. We need to find out the reason behind the attack. But most importantly, we need to focus our attention on elsewhere, on the things that we need to talk about. Let's let the authorities in Colorado do their job. And I have every confidence that they will get that job done. And then we'll know. We don't have to jump on the political landscape all of a sudden and take every little tragedy in our lives as something that can be twisted and turned to our political agenda. Now, one of the things I've heard people screaming, if you look at the web, they're everywhere, people screaming for more gun control. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my entire life, there have been political movements one way or another to get guns under control. The problem is they want to control us from having the guns, and our forefathers guaranteed that we would have the right to defend ourselves. And it's a protection from the government. And the reason it is so successful, now understand that the reason they want to take the guns away from us is because, as I've mentioned before, there are only two ways that you can actually get someone to come over to your side, and that's either persuade them that you're correct or force them. And the American people being armed removes that forced. I've talked several times about how General Yamamoto said that the Japanese would never invade. It's too dangerous. There's a reason that people don't invade the United States. Now, Colorado Governor, and I'm going to butcher this, John Hickenlooper, he asked, how would we prevent this? Actually, he asked the host of CNN State of the Union, Candy Crowley, how do we preserve our freedoms and all of those things that define our country and yet prevent something like this from happening? And he says, and this is poignant to me, let me tell you, there is no easy answer. There just isn't. But it's funny, you know, we see President Obama, and I have to say that when I first heard his speech regarding this incident in Colorado, I was very impressed. I really was. But later he came out, after he had visited victims in the hospital, he came out and did another little press conference outside the hospital. And in that, outside his very good remarks about how we can help the parents and the victims and so forth, came out and said, I hope over the next several days, next several weeks, next several months, we will all reflect on how we can do something about some of the senseless violence that ends up marring this country. Now, that is a veiled threat for gun control, or call for gun control, I should say. Now, understanding that currently in Aurora, Colorado, where the shooting took place, it's considered unlawful to carry a concealed dangerous weapon, to discharge any firearm unless you're a law enforcement officer or on duty or on the shooting range, and to have a loaded firearm in a motor vehicle. Okay, these are very strict laws. Colorado has some of the most restrictive gun laws in the country. Yet these laws were unable to stop John Holmes or James Holmes. Now, understand, ladies and gentlemen, although he did use firearms and excessive firearms in the theater, he didn't get the bombs in his apartment at a gun store. He didn't get the tear gas at a gun store, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the guns. It's the people. Now, immediately, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, in radio and TV interviews, renewed calls for President Obama and the GOP candidate Mitt Romney to make gun control an election issue. And he said that no matter where you stand on the Second Amendment, no matter where you stand on guns, we have the right to hear from both of them. Concretely, just as in generality specific, what are they going to do about the guns? Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what they're going to do about the guns. Nothing. The guns are guaranteed. Our right to keep and bear arms is guaranteed in the Constitution, and it's the Second Amendment. There's a reason. It was the second most important thing that our forefathers guaranteed us in the Constitution, because it is the second most important safeguard for our freedoms. Now, I talk about treaties quite a bit. I really do. And the reason I talk about treaties is because they are hidden law. They are something that is behind the scenes. We don't usually hear about them, even after they've passed. And I'm talking here about the arms trade treaty that's back up for negotiation. As a matter of fact, it's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton actually is leading the charge behind this. And it is, and this is according to Wikipedia, an international non-government and human rights organizations, including Amnesty International and the International Action Network on Small Arms, have developed an analysis on an effective arms trades treaty, and it would look like, okay? What it would do is it would ensure that there was no transfer permitted if there's a substantial risk, no transfer of firearms or ammunition, if there's a risk that the firearm will be used in a serious violation of international human rights or humanitarian laws, facilitate terrorist attacks, violate UN charter obligations, be diverted from its original recipient, or adversely affect regional security. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean? Adversely, let's look at that last one, adversely affect regional security. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what they're talking about is preventing other incidents much like those in the Arab Spring. Now, whether or not you believe it's a good thing or a bad thing, the truth is an entire region of the world stood up and said, we've had enough of the despotism and we're going to change our government. And they did in most places and are indeed doing that right now in Syria. What this treaty does is it moves to stop anybody from being able to just grab a gun. It stops any transfer, even between a merchant and a citizen of the United States. Okay? It can adversely affect the Second Amendment, and understand that once a treaty is in place, there's nothing we can do about it, and I'll explain why in the next segment. Now, there are a lot of loopholes that are now, and understand it's a laudable goal. We don't want people selling guns overseas, and that's mainly what this was designed to prevent. But ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at it. The vast majority of small arms, and this includes rifles, pistols, shotguns, even up to small machine guns, a lot of these small arms, the vast majority of them, are not traded by private citizens. They're traded by governments. United States, Soviet Union, China, these are where most of the small arms are used. So why do they need a treaty to say, I can't ship a gun overseas? Not that I'd ever want to. But why do we need another treaty? Why are we giving up our sovereignty in order to be able to to protect other people in the world from our small arms? Now, a couple of things. Now, one thing about a treaty is that President Obama can appear before the public and say he has no intent to pursue any legislation that would lead to new gun control laws. Okay? The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, is committing the U.S. to international treaties. Now, what this is going to mean, ladies and gentlemen, that they can actually enforce gun control without any public debate, any public vote, any of these kind of things. They can actually give us a gun control measure that would not have passed our Congress. And truth be known, there's nothing we could do about it until the treaty expires or until everyone else in the treaty says we can get out of it. So what's going to happen is we're going to wake up one morning and find out the United States has signed this treaty, and it will prevent firearms and ammunition manufacturers from selling to the public, find that we've signed a treaty that prohibits any transfer of firearm ownership. And then when we wake up, we'll find that the U.S. has signed a treaty that requires U.S. citizens to deliver any firearm they own to local governments for collection and destruction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just speaking for myself, they can't have my guns, but they can have my bullets, one at a time. Well, summer is here, as we've all noticed. It's time to get off the couch, back into life. And let's face it, going to the gym and pick up steel and putting it back down is about as mind-numbing as you can get. So let's try something new this time. Martial arts may be a way for you to get back into shape. I go to the dojo with my son a couple of times a week. And we love it. We really do. As a matter of fact, I went last night, and I'm still sore. It's never the same thing twice. Always challenging. It's a really good workout. And may I suggest Shui Hua Kung Fu at Heart of Texas Martial Arts in Brownwood, Texas. They offer Kung Fu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and for those searching for a real workout, Fighting Fit Boot Camp. That'll pull those pounds off, I promise you. Now, there are two great dojos to serve you. Serving most of Central Texas is the Heart of Texas Martial Arts in Brownwood, Texas. Come by and meet Sifu Tony Welker. And he will change your view about how to lose weight and how to get back into shape. Or in the Dallas Metroplex, visit the Center for Martial Arts in Plano. Come by and meet the Grand Master of Shui Hua Kung Fu. Ages 5 to 75, martial arts will help build confidence and provide a challenging and fun way to stay fit. So visit Heart of Texas Martial Arts at heartoftexasma.com. That's heartoftexasma.com. and we will be right back.